They affect many people that play sports at all levels. So we're discussing concussions and their treatment. Our guest, Dr. Shelley Street Callender. She's an internal medicine, pediatrics, and sports medicine physician with Glencoe Immediate Care Center. This is Health Matters from Southeast Georgia Health System. Thanks for joining us. I'm Joey Waller. Hi there, doctor. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me, Joey. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Same here. We appreciate the time. So first, it's so interesting your background. You've been a professor of medicine, a director of sports medicine, a pediatric orthopedic physician. So tell us the gist about your versatile background. How did you come to be involved in so many different things?
Well, like many people, I was involved in sports as a youth and then continued some of that exposure during college. And so sports medicine has always been an interest for me, but I like taking care of the community. And so everyone who's active to me is a sports medicine patient. When I went to medical school, I looked into different specialties and I enjoyed the thought process of internal medicine and taking care of adults. And then I had the opportunity to do some things that were very special with kids, and I enjoyed working with children as well. And so my career path took me into doing both of those specialties, followed by a sports medicine fellowship, which is where I landed. And I landed in sports medicine just because I wanted to volunteer in the community. So I volunteered for an inner city school in Detroit, Michigan at the time. And that path led me to the school asking me to be their team physician and sort of taking off from there.
Yeah, that was at Mercer where you were the team physician, right?
So Mercer is after that. Once I was in Detroit and did some work with some of the teams there, I took an opportunity after some life changes to take on a directorship at Mercer University. That's correct.
And that's Division I. They've had some success in basketball over the years at the mid-major level, right?
That's correct. And I was there during that success. So it was fun to watch and to be involved with.
I'm sure. And what was your sport or sports of choice as an athlete yourself?
I, in high school, did track and cross country and basketball, and in college did basketball.
Okay. And so what would you say brought you to Southeast Georgia Physician Associates, which I guess was about a year ago, right?
That is correct. We had a family decision to move towards the coast, and it's beautiful in this area, as if you've been or visited from anywhere else in the state are aware of. So we decided we'd take that plunge to be closer to the ocean and take on some boating and things, activities that weren't as accessible to us in middle Georgia. And that's sort of what brought us to the area.
And so we're discussing, as mentioned, concussions here, mainly sports related. First, just how common are they, sports related concussions? And what are the main signs or symptoms to watch for that would indicate one may have occurred?
So head injury or concussion is one of the major injuries experienced in contact collision sports, most well known in the sport of football, but not uncommon in the sports of soccer and basketball as well. Of course, when we think about things like hockey, which isn't as popular in the Southeast, they also have a good number of head injuries as well. They are underreported. We estimate that at least 1 in 1,000 people have experienced one, but some don't know it and some don't report it, and it's still underreported. One of the signs we recommend that people make sure they are observing, particularly if you're at a field of play, is just someone getting up slow from a tackle, hit, hurt, twist, or heading, etc.
You touched on soccer there. It's always been interesting to me that those that don't follow soccer closely are often surprised to hear that that's one of the leading sports when it comes to concussions, because you might not think from a distance that what you see on the field would add up to head injuries, but they do occur a lot, right?
Absolutely. Soccer and basketball are two key sports, particularly for girls. As we imagine, not as many girls play contact collision football, where football clearly is the leading sport for concussions for boys.
And hockey as well, right?
Hockey is another sport where concussion is not uncommon.
So one thing that you can make a distinction of here for us is, when should people seek concussion care with their primary care doctor versus an emergency care visit as opposed to an immediate care facility? How do you know where to go?
Yeah, those are great questions. And obviously, if you're concerned, there's never a bad time to take them to the emergency room if you absolutely don't know where you should go following a head injury, because they can be serious and there can be some folks that are nervous about that. But oftentimes, there's someone on the sideline that can help navigate that for you. Sometimes in the state of Georgia, we have a number of schools that have certified athletic trainers and physicians on the sidelines. There are other schools that do not have that access. Clearly, if someone has lost consciousness or they stay down on the ground for more than 10 to 30 seconds, then that's someone you most likely want to transport or have seen in an emergency room. If you get right back up or you just feel lightheaded or dizzy and you otherwise are normal, then you can actually wait and see, go to an urgent care, immediate care, or your primary care physician. What should be done is you should not re-enter that activity. So whatever it is that you are doing, you should not resume doing it, including and not excluding driving. So if you're an adolescent or an adult that experiences something and they feel dizzy, lightheaded, nauseous, unbalanced, in a fog, any of those components, don't get in a car and then drive, just like you wouldn't get back on the field and play football.
And of course, if an athlete is playing at a level where they're under the care of a team physician, as you were, as we talked about, or a professional trainer, et cetera, then these questions are typically answered ahead of time. We're talking more if an athlete, especially a younger athlete, is in a situation, or maybe even an older weekend warrior is in a situation, right, where they don't quite know where to go because they're more on their own.
Correct.
So what can patients, doctor, expect when they visit Glinco Immediate Care Center in terms of concussion treatment? What's offered there?
Well, we will absolutely start with doing some of the things that should be started anywhere you would go. And that's a set of vital signs and making sure you're cardiovascularly okay. So your heart and lungs and your blood pressure and temperature and heart rate are normal. From there, we'll do a neurologic exam. So the neurologic exam will include things like how your eye moves, how you can hear, what your face motions might look like. We'll maybe check some of your reflexes. We will include some types of balance tests. And then we will also include your ability to think. So how you think, what your thought process is, what you recall and remember from the incident versus what other people may have told you about the incident. Oftentimes, if it's an elementary, junior high, or high school student, we will occasionally get video of the incident, depending upon the circumstances surrounding. So looking at what you recall versus what someone observed versus what a parent may have observed all come into components to both diagnose you with concussion and make a treatment plan with a return to activity or function.
Gotcha. How about, what would you say you're most proud of about the approach to patient care on the part of you and yours?
Well, I think it's been wonderful to see, back when I played sports through high school and college, you didn't have concussion care recognized at all. And it was just go back in there. You feel a little dazed, shake it off and run back in. And the amount of advances I think we've made from then to now are just astronomical. And I think we've made some great headway in taking care of people who have concussions and helping them navigate the way back to full activity. And so now I have adolescents and adults who will tell me, I have a concussion or I have these symptoms of concussion. Whereas before, they would not even recognize that the symptoms they were having were concussion or what a concussion even was.
And indeed, even well before your time playing sports, back in the day, I mean, we've all seen these videos from NFL films from back in the 60s or 70s when a guy would get his bell rung and clearly had a concussion, didn't know what round he was in. And he'd say to the coach, I'm fine. And the coach would go, okay, get back in there then. And that was it, right? It sounds crazy now, doesn't it?
It does sound crazy. And we went through stages of knowing what was the results of some of those decisions we made long ago. And some people did just fine and other people not so well. And so it's nice to see the movement towards understanding that this is really an injury that we need to take care of and do the right thing for so that everyone who plays a sport can be safer in what they're playing. And anyone who sustains a head injury or a concussion knows where to go and what to do about it so that they don't subject themselves to further delay in return to their work, play, or sport or school, and it doesn't delay their lifelong goals or aspirations.
Absolutely. And speaking of which, after a concussion, that all begs the question, simply put, and of course, everyone's different. They respond differently. They take different amounts of time to recover from a concussion, but how would you sum up best for people to understand how a professional like yourself knows when it's time for a given patient to return to sports and what legal requirements are there that professionals have to follow?
That's a lot of questions in that one. I will say that everyone should be aware that the state has a state law for concussion. So on the day that you sustain a concussion, you should not return to the activity that you are doing. And if you're in an organized sport environment, then they are legally bound that they should not allow anyone to return to the playing field or court until they've been evaluated, treated, and cleared to return to that sport. Once you get to your pediatrician, family physician, an immediate care, an ER, then the determination will be, where are you at in your symptoms? Are they resolved? Are they better? And where are you on your continuum? And based upon where you might be once you're evaluated will help determine the pathway back to the activity that you're seeking to participate in. Generally speaking, we recommend that you take some guided steps back to return to play and return to learn. And those guided steps typically happen in no less than 24-hour periods of time.
And so I'm sure you must often deal with athletes that are chomping at the bit to get back into action. How do you balance their eagerness with making sure that they're fully recovered? I guess what I'm asking is during that recovery period, what's the support you're offering them for their own good, whether they like it or not?
Yeah, you can imagine that everyone's eager to get back. And I will tell you, I'm eager to get them back because it makes my life easier too if they are back to doing the things they enjoy and love doing. And so I share that with them and say, you know, I want you back quickly too, because we all are happier if you're playing what you want to play. That coupled with we are going to do it in a safe manner. And I will tell you, the more experienced athletes get it. And they are sometimes the ones that are holding back and saying, I want to wait one more day. My younger athletes, the younger they are, the more they don't, you know, I guess their brain functions just aren't quite there all the time to make those synapses that say, you know, waiting one more day isn't going to hurt you. Waiting one more day might be better for you. And so that's when you get a team approach to it. And that team includes their parents, sometimes their teachers, sometimes their aunts and uncles. It's a family sort of affair. And when you get everyone on board, then it helps that athlete move as well. or the patient who's interested in getting back to their even recreational play. And so I try not to hold people out any longer than what they have to. And that's one of the, I guess, nuances of taking care of concussion.
I'm sure it is. So changing things up just a bit for a moment, is it safe to say that much of what you're discussing here so far applies not just to sports-related concussions, but people that have been concussed in an auto accident as well?
We do actually separate out, or have started to separate out, the literature between head injuries sustained in sport and head injuries sustained in motor vehicle accidents or high collision crashes. We don't really think there's a big difference in how you might manage some of those, except that particularly in the beginning, depending upon the mechanism of action, you may have an increased risk of having a brain bleed. Most of our sports-related concussions do not relate or result in brain bleeds, but some of our motor vehicle accidents and ATV accidents, et cetera, can. And so if someone falls off of a ATV that's driving quickly and they didn't have a helmet on, et cetera, that person, regardless of if they lost consciousness or not, might meet criteria for evaluation with a head CT, for instance. And those individuals are more likely treated in the emergency room rather than just going to an immediate care where we don't have those resources to do a CT of the scan right away. Same thing with them going to their pediatrician or family physician or internist. They will likely benefit from going to the emergency room first for that evaluation if it's been a high-speed motor vehicle accident. Again, some of those instances are helped by who gets to the scene to evaluate and treat them, and they may get some guidance from that emergency personnel that evaluates them, because there are a group of people who just get a little whiplash. You know, you sit in your seatbelt and you come forward, go backwards, and you have a headache. Those often we see in the immediate care.
Understood. So I'm sure you have so many great success stories over the years. Can you share one with us that you think, doctor, best illustrates the full recovery process of somebody having successfully gone through everything you've discussed?
There is one patient that we've had that experienced a head injury while performing a sport and had symptoms past 1 week, and then came to be seen and evaluated in our immediate care. And we took that person, adjusted their school schedule because they were struggling in school. And so we adjusted their school schedule, adjusted their exercise schedule. So we backed them off of some exercises and actually increased them in some of their aerobic exercises. We decreased their intensity, but we increased their frequency. We increased their moments of rest, but we gave them more time of doing the activity during the day, which made them feel much better. And then we gradually returned them or increased their time, both at school and at play. And he actually did very well with that intervention. And within the same 21 days, actually went back to full sport and is doing wonderfully. And has had no problems or incidences since, returned back to entire baseline. As far as we have some tests where we look at how you function cognitively, balance-wise, et cetera. And he went back to his baseline and exceeded where he was before. So great to see, excited and doing really well and going to be successful even at the next level in his sport.
That's great indeed. So when we talk about success, I'm sure a lot goes into it, but simply put, how do you think sports organizations can reduce concussions, including in urban areas and rural communities where cultural experiences can come into play in terms of the way things have always been done?
Right. I think the first step is recognizing that you have it. And we need to recognize symptoms, both those that are participating and those that are watching participation. And once we recognize it, then we have to move to the next step of removing the person from that activity as soon as we recognize it. And we're getting better, but we're not yet quite there. Once we recognize it and remove them, then we should institute the appropriate care, make sure they're hydrated, and then get them to the necessary resources to be able to guide that process back to their activity of choice.
Now, the American Medical Society for Sports Medicine, known as the AMSSM, has a position statement concerning sports concussions. Can you tell us why people should know about that?
The American Medical Association, I have to say that I'm on their board of directors, so I do have a bias as far as saying that this is a document that we should all be aware of. But they're one of the big organizations that participates in education, resources, research, and head injuries. And a number of the members of the American Medical Society for Sports Medicine, AMSSM, are on the both national and international writing papers and recommendations through the CDC, et cetera, as to requirements for concussion. So this document that talks about and is reevaluated as to the new research in the area gives some guides for sports-related concussions. And if you're involved in sports, you should at least be aware that these guidelines, or there aren't specifically guidelines, they're more information that you should know about concussions, because they're not written as strict guidelines. They're more written as a guide for you to be aware of and the things that you should think of when you're taking care of people for concussions. A lot of that literature is written actually for your physicians, physician assistants, and your providers, your certified athletic trainers. I think the general public needs to be aware of it, not necessarily have read the whole document, and that your coaches, trainers absolutely should be very aware of it, and your coaches should be aware of it. And then the medical personnel should actually have knowledge about it, particularly if they're taking care of athletes who are involved in sports where head injury is a concern, and almost every sport has some risk for head injury.
Absolutely. Now, just a couple other things. Switching gears a bit, you mentioned you're on that board of directors, so that's another thing on your very heavy plate, right? But when you're away from work and all these work-related duties, how do you spend time away with your family and enjoy yourself? Do you still play basketball, for instance? You look like a shooter, doctor. Can you still shoot it?
That's funny. My 8-year-old and I were playing horse, and he wasn't very happy because he didn't win that horse game.
There's going to come a day, you know, when that's going to change.
There will come a day probably that will change. But right now, I'm still winning, which is great. My youngest, who's 6, I coached his recreational basketball team, so we had a good time doing that. I guess he enjoyed it. I didn't think he enjoyed it as much as he did. But then, you know, in the summer, I tried to put him in basketball camp, and he's like, I'm only going if you're coaching. And I said, oh, what a privilege and what a compliment from a 6-year-old, right? So we like to travel, the family, my husband and 2 kids, we enjoy traveling, and we do a fair amount of that. My boys, I think, take sports for granted because they go to a lot and watch a lot and meet some fun people who take care of some great athletes. We enjoy cooking and doing something, just even going for walks and rides as well. And we bake cookies together and we enjoy, you know, family time. So we do a fair amount of fun home things that help us sort of reminisce and think about things together.
That's great. I mean, when you talk about making cookies with your kids, that's about as all-American as it gets, right? So in summary here, finally, what would you say your message is to those tuning into our conversation about what parents and kids playing organized sports should keep in mind so that they can be prepared to have success, but at the same time, to be safe?
Have true conversations, particularly with your young individuals that are participating in organized sports, and have that conversation that says there's nothing wrong with admitting that you have something going on. There's nothing wrong with saying you feel a little dizzy or a little off. There's nothing wrong with telling someone right away that something doesn't feel quite right, because that might lead to more questions to help you define what is going on with you and keeping you safe. So I encourage my kids that I want you to enjoy it. I want you to have fun in your sport, and I want you to be comfortable enough to tell me if something doesn't feel right.
Well, folks, we trust you're now more familiar with concussions and their treatment. You just got a chance to meet her. She is a busy woman, including beating her kids at horse, but then baking them cookies. So it all evens out in the end. Doctor, thanks so much again.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Dr. Shelley Street Callender, thank you. And for more information, please visit sghs.org/immediate-care. Now, if you found this podcast helpful, please do share it on your social media. I'm Joey Wallen. Thanks again for being part of Health Matters from Southeast Georgia Health System.